bases this on a Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, "Hanichna aslavakir asachela b'Shabbos," a person who goes in to visit a sick person on Shabbos. Omer, he says these words, "Yechela he sheterachim." This is the exact wording that's brought in the Gemara, which Rabbeinu Zal is going to show how grammatically it doesn't sound too normal. It doesn't seem to fit in. But Rabbeinu Zal is going to show exactly what these words really should mean. Yechela he sheterachim means it could that you should have pity. It could affect, your sickness could affect that you should have pity. That's the literal yechela he. It can be sheterachim that you will have pity or that you should have pity. What does that mean? What is it talking about? Yeah, sure. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain.
You say this to the person?
You say this to the chayla. It can be that you should have pity. This is what you're supposed to say to a chayla when you go visit him on Shabbos. What does this mean? Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki kisho dom tzorech l'rachmim, Hashem yisporach sholeach loy rachmonus. When a person needs rachmonus, how does Hashem provide it to him? Hashem sends him a situation. Hashem sends him rachmonos, meaning shehu yirachem alacher. Hashem sends this person a situation whereby this person is forced to show pity on a second person. Vaydezeh merachamim olav. And that's the opening. That's what gives Hashem an opening to have pity on you. Because as we mentioned many times, as Rav Nosson Zal, who knew the Sifrei Kabbalah better than anybody, says many times, as far as Kabbalah is concerned, as far as Hashem is concerned, there's never any transaction that takes place over there unless there's Isarusa de Lasata. And whenever it does happen differently, it's the biggest chiddush in the world. The first night of Pesach is the only case throughout the Jewish calendar where you have a Shelei Kaseder situation, where Hashem did something which was Shelei Kaseder. It wasn't warranted, although we showed many times that even in that Shelei Kaseder, there was a lot of Kaseders. The fact that they didn't change their names, and they had a Bechin of Tikkun HaBris, there's all kinds of things, but factually, that's called a situation where the Jews did not deserve to be taken out of Egypt, and yet Hashem bent over backwards, because he knew if they would stay there another second, it would have been the end. But under normal circumstances, you must have Isarusa de Lesata in order to affect Isarusa de Leila, which means, in order, a person's in a situation where he needs Rachmanis from Hashem, Hashem must make this person do something to be able to become worthy of getting that Rachmanis. What does Hashem do? Hashem sends him somebody whom he has to have Rachmanis on. Mazel Tov. As the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kol hamarachim ala briyos, marachim imolov. Anyone who has Rachmanis on people, Hashem has Rachmanis on him. And as the Pasuk says, V'nosan l'cho rachamim v'richamecho. Hashem will give you kindness and he will have pity on you. What does that mean? On the normal circumstances, that wouldn't make sense at all. According to Rabbeinu Zal's Taichir, it seems to fit in good. Hashem will give you a situation where you're forced to show kindness, and that'll be the opening for Hashem to be able to show kindness to you. Umidas horachmonos toli bedas. Rabbeinu Zal says that rachamim is toli in das. Ki mi sheyesh lo ideo, yesh lo rachmonos. A person who has seichel has rachmonos. We mentioned the case that Rabbeinu Zal brings in a different term of the Qumran. A person would say rachmonos, give a baby a steak, you'll have rachmonos. So Rabbeinu Zal says that rachmonos, you must have seichel. And if you note that the sphere is, which sphere is rachmonos? Chesed, we would say. Chesed comes from das. Chochma bina das, chesed. Chesed receives its light from das, which means you must have das before you have chesed. Rabbeinu Zal says, ki kas shehi hepecha rachmonos, because kas, which is the exact opposite of rachmonis. A rachmon is one who shows pity. Kas is one who shows the opposite of pity, anger. Hu machmas ksilos. Kas comes because of stupidity. Kamay shekosev, as Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, kas b'cheik ksilim yonuach. That anger lies in the lap of the fools. So we see that kas goes together with foolishness, which means rachmonis goes together with seichel, with das. The Alkeinom Razal, and that's why the Gemara says, Brachas kol mi she'ein boideo osu l'rachim olav. That any person who lacks das, it's osur to have rachmonis on him, because rachamim and das go together. Ki emein boideo ein boi rachmonis. Because this person, if he's lacking in deo, it means automatically he's lacking in rachmonis. Ki kas b'chei ksilim yanuach. Because the opposite of rachmonis lies in the lap of the fools. Kas. al kein osol rachim olav. That's why you are forbidden to show rachmanis on him. Ki kol hamarachin marachmim olav. Because one who shows pity, you have to show him pity. One who lacks das, meaning he doesn't show pity, you're not allowed to show pity to him. But if the person doesn't have rachmanis, it's also to show rachmanis on him. Nimtza. So Rabbi Nizal says, what comes out of this whole discussion? This person whom you're going to visit now, who's sick. Sickness is a state of din. The person is in the Bechina's din. And that's why Rabbi Nizal says, you'll note that generally a sick person, at night, it gets much worse. As it starts getting into late afternoon and night, you talk about a person who has a regular common cold. In the morning, he's coughing less. At night, towards mincha time, towards shkia, the temperature usually goes up. He starts coughing more. The sickness is geiver because mincha is a time of din. Mincha is Yitzchak Avinu, which is din. Maariv is darkness. Again, a time for din. So Rabbi Nizal says, therefore, this chayla shetzorich l'rachmim, who needs rachmonos, tzorich sheyeh loy rachmim al acherim. In order for him to be able to draw kindness from Hashem, he has to prove himself that he can show kindness on other people, to other people. V'zeh toli b'das kanal. And this, in order for him to have kindness, it's toli in him having seichel. V'shabbos hu b'chinas das. Shabbos is the concept of seichel. Ki kol yemois ha'choil, because about the weekdays, k'siv, the pasuk says, shotu ha'om v'loktu. The wording in the pasuk, when the Jews went to gather the mon during the 6 days of the week, it says, shotu ha'om v'loktu, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, loktu b'shtusa. They gathered it with shtus, with stupidity, with lack of seichel. The weekdays symbolize a lack of seichel. Kama shikosu v'zoyar, avol b'shabbos nimshach hadas l'kol echod. Shabbos is a time when the das is nishbat to each and every person. Each person receives a tosfes das. Why? What does a person receive on Shabbos? A tosfes neshama, a neshama yisera. Where is the neshama? In the brain, shehaneshama shebamechi, which means that these two go together. If on Shabbos you're receiving an neshama yisera, it means in technical terms you're receiving more seichel, literally. This is why the Gemara says that those who go to visit a sick person say to him, Yechaylo hi sheterachem. What does this mean? Hainu shehashabbos shehi bechinas das. Shabbos, which is a concept of das, because note again, which part of the body is related to das? Vatipokachno einei shnehem. The pasuk says, by Adam and Chava, their eyes became smart. Pikeach is the eyes. Shabbos, we mentioned many times, is the eyes. The shin stands for the tlas gavn and the eino. The bas is the basayin. So we see that Shabbos is an inyan of das. Rabbi Nizal says, that's why we say, Hainu shashabbos shehi b'chinas das, yechaylo shetirachem. It can make that you should have rachmonis. Loshen neichach. Neichach means I'm speaking to a second person who's standing right by me. Nistar is somebody who's not here, not around now. Neichach is a second person right near me. Hainu shetirachem ato. The Shabbos, the fact that on the Shabbos you receive a tesvis das, that can help that you, sick person, should have more kindness, more compassion. It will allow you to have rachmanis on other people through this extra das that you get on Shabbos. V'kivon sheyelecha rachamim, and once you'll be blessed with rachamim, bevada yirachmu alecha min hashamayim. Certainly, once you'll possess kindness, Heaven will show kindness to you. Ki kol hamarachim al abriyos, marachim alof, min hashamayim. Because the Gemara says, whoever shows kindness to people, heaven shows him kindness. So this is why the Gemara says in Shabbos, that the statement that you make when you go to visit a chayla on Shabbos is, yechayla hi sheterachim. It means that you're coming to visit him on Shabbos. You're telling him that the Shabbos can make it that you should have rachmanis. And what will that do for you? That'll accomplish a refuah shoyma for you. Because in order for you to have a refuah, you need rachmim of shamayim. How do you draw rachmim of shamayim? If you have rachamim first, if you have rachmanis on other people first. The Shabbos, the extra das that you're blessed with on Shabbos, can help you have rachmanis. Amen. Can you answer?
The first one you said about that a person didn't have rachmanis.
Exactly.
How does that? But I understand where it's the person who has to have the rachmanis has to have the das. I understand you're not allowed to have rachmanis for one who doesn't have das. But right. What about you, the one who has to give the rachmanis?
The answer is there's two. Anything related to rachmim, you need das for it, and it works both ways. One who wants to draw rachmim, the sick one, has to have rachmanis because kol marachim rachmim malav. The one who is showing the rachmanis, I told you, Rabbi Nizal brings in a Torah ki marachamim yinagim. Rabbi Nizal says that what's called rachmanis, a leader of Klal Yisrael has to have rachmanis. Rachmanis means that it has to have das. Rabbi Nizal says over there, kikar rachmim tolib das. Why? Because if you don't have das, you could think you're showing kindness. You have a parent who showers a kid with gifts, and it's wonderful, it's fabulous. They raise a cripple. Because this guy, when he becomes of age to get married, go out on his own, he's not capable of fending for himself, and chas v'shalom, he splatters. And let's say at that time his parents are not in a position to shower him anymore the way they did before, so he's left swimming in waters. That kind of concept. So you see that it works on both. The one who wants to draw rachmonis on himself, and the one who wants to give the rachmonis, the mashpia of rachmim is das. The mashpia of chesed is das, in the spheres. The one who ships air to chesed is das. Very, very simple. I'll give you a very clear example coming close to the tzaddik emes. When a tzaddik has rachmonis on a person, let's say he shows him his karvus, he's not permitted to show his karvus if the guy looks like a complete idiot, meaning the kind of idiot who doesn't have rachmonis on himself. You understand? That's called lack of das. Lack of das doesn't mean one who's not learned, technically. It means one who doesn't have the enough seichel-like to understand to look out for himself. Rav Moshe Zalman, Kodei Halachos, uses this wording a lot of times when he says, "Kol mishem b'yadei osel rachmalof," which means you want Hashem to have rachmonis on you, you have to have the initial seichel to come and say, Hashem, have, you know, to be aware that you need rachmonis, to be aware that you're in a position you need help. A person can't approach a second person to help him, to offer him kindness, unless that person has the seichel on his own to understand that he needs kindness. That's what it's referring to, you understand? Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean bedafka das page knowledge. That's what it means.
Things will say they are also the main rachmanis.
Is on one who's lacking das.
Das
for sure. Lam natsech maskil el dol, that's the biggest rachman. But again, you have to start off with an initial das. The tzaddik, Rav Enizal says that the tzaddik is the one who has all the avedas of all the people, right? But when you come to him, he doesn't just have open door, right? He has to test. Adroi shachicha meimach, ad shetid roi shosoi im ramayhu. You have to check him if he's a ramay, if he's a trickster. You have to check him to see if he has the seichel to understand that this is a tzaddik. A lot of times a person comes to a Rebbe and the Rebbe sees how he's going to... Rebbe stretches out a hand and sees if the person is going to grab the bait. If yes, then he'll pull him close, or that will smash him every once in a while along the way. If not, he'll drop him like cold. But you saw Rebbe's house. There was many times people came, and sometimes after the first visit, he would say, "Tell this person I don't want to see him again." Or he would say, "Make sure this person is," you know, that type of thing. Because he saw that this person was lacking in that beginning of das, that it wasn't somebody to start with even. That kind of thing.
Because he didn't realize he needed help?
That's one example of it. That's one example. Or a person who's an outright apikiris, or a person, you know, meaning shows disrespect to Chachamim, to the Gemara, that type of thing.
This is but what mean like in context we were talking about, when he said if I'm not for myself then who'll be for me, but if I'm only for myself then what am I? What do you mean in relation to what we're talking about now about rachmanim?
If I'm only for myself, what am I? In other words, that the one who's able to have to get Hashem to have pity on him is one who shows pity on other people. He's not selfish. That's what it is. It applies to learning, it applies to everything. One interesting item related to this, related to Shabbos Shia, that I didn't mention, where the Arizal mentions that thing that I said about Toida and Halacha together, so it's brought. Reb Shmuel Vitalzal says, now that we're on the topic, let me mention a side item that pertains to this, you know, that's connected to this. We know that there are two chapters in Tehillim, one that we say during the weekdays, one that we say only on Shabbos, specifically. The chapter that we say during the weekdays is Mizmor L'Soida. We say during the weekdays, Shachris every morning. How do we know that it's only the weekdays, not Shabbos? Because the Gemara says very clearly that the Korban Toida could not be brought on Shabbos. That's one of the interesting halachas about Korban Toida. You can't bring it on Shabbos. So Mizmor L'Soida is for the weekdays. Whereas on Shabbos, we say Mizmor L'David, Havu L'Hashem B'nei Elim. That's the Mizmor that we say on Shabbos. We say it Friday night, right before the Chagaydi. We say it also Shabbos morning when they're taking in the Sefer Torah instead of Lodavit Mizmor. We say that one again. Reb Shmuel Vitalzal said that his Rebbe, which is Reb Chaim Vitalzal, told him why, what's going on here. He told him because the weekdays a person is on a lower level of Das. Lower level of Das is the Madrega of Mizmor L'Soido, Hariu L'Hashem Kol Horetz. The whole world gives praise to Hashem, meaning it's a level of Das which is applicable to the whole world. Everybody can hook up to it. What level of that Das is that? Halacha. The Rosh HaTevis of Hariu L'Hashem Kol Horetz is Halacha. That's the weekdays. On Shabbos, the Iker Limud, for one who is capable, naturally, for one who knows Halacha well and Gemara well, the main Limud is supposed to be the Limud of Kabbalah. And that's why in Mizmor L'David Ha'olah Hashem Unei Eilim, it says, Hishtachavu L'Hashem Baharas Kodesh. We bow to Hashem within the holy Hidur, in other words, referring like to the inner palace of Hashem. The Rosh HaTevis of Hishtachavu L'Hashem Baharas Kodesh is Kabbalah. That, in other words, this is the distinction between the weekdays versus Shabbos. You see, Rabbi Elazar says here, Shabbos is a higher level of Das. This is why during the weekdays we emphasize Mizmor L'Seid Aril Hashem Kol Haaretz. On Shabbos we emphasize Hishtachol Hashem Aras Chodesh. Alavai, we should be zeichet to learn both of these the way we're supposed to. To learn during the weekdays the way we're supposed to, and on Shabbos the way we're supposed to. Baruch Hashem.
But listen, but when you say Das, it has to be intertwined.
Of course, that's where.
Because you get a lot of people who have knowledge and they still have no insight into anything.
For sure.
They're missing something. They're
those
missing
those three are always connected. You see, in the when we daven on Shmoneh Esrei, Atochin Olam Das and Olam Adonai Shbina, Chanein Meitcha Deya Bina Vahaskel Chachma Dunva Das. That those things go together. Okay, let's continue. Torah Kuf Chaf. Rabbi Nizal says, Ho Inyan, the topic that we're about to discuss. Is mashetzrichim lenesoya lahatzadik? Why a person is required to travel to the tzadik? Veloidai besifrei musar. And it's not enough to just say, I'll take a sefer in my own house, I'll study a book in my own house. What do I have to go travel to a class, to a rabbi, to a tzadik? Just take the book myself and read it myself. Mefurish b'Tayra, it's explained in the Chumash. This topic is explained right out in the Chumash. The Chumash tells us that when Amalek came to attack the Jews, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, Ksoiv Zois Zikorain Basefer, I want you to write down this whole story, this whole incident with Amalek, write it down for a memory, for a remembrance in a Sefer. V'sim bi'ozne Yehoshua. Writing it down alone is not enough. And give it over into the ears of Yeshua. Say it over, tell it over to the ears of Yeshua. That what? That kimocho yemcha ezecher Amalek mitachas hashamayim. That Hashem says that I'm gonna wipe out Amalek every single generation. I'm gonna battle Amalek. Rabbi Nizal says, ki af she'omar lo lichtoiv basefer, although Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to instruct Yeshua to write it down, afal pikein lo histapik bozeh. Still, that did not suffice. That was not sufficient. V'tziv aloy, and he commanded him, v'sim bi'ozne Yeshua, and give it over into the ears of Yeshua, meaning, she'edaber imoi pe el pe, that it has to be spoken to mouth, in other words, mouth to ear. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki oikar mashe shoyme mipe hatzadik, because the main learning of a person is what he gets to hear from the mouth of his rabbi, from the mouth of a tzadik. Ukamashe kosov the medrash, as is brought in the medrash, al posuk shma Yisrael, hayoim atem oivres hayarden. The posuk says that Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, listen, Jews, today you are crossing the Yarden, you should know what the purpose is and everything about it, etc., etc. V'zeh l'shoinai, this is the wording in the medrash. The medrash says, Ma ro'o lo'imar lahem kan shma Yisrael. What did Hashem see? What did Moshe Rabbeinu see at this point in time to say these words, shma Yisrael? Rabbonin Amri, the Rabbonin say, Lemo ha'dovor daime, what is this comparable to? Lemelech shekidesh matruna b'shnei margolius. To a king who became engaged, betrothed to a queen, with two diamonds. There were two diamonds that were used as the engagement gift. Ovdo achas mehen. Then he found out that something happened, an incident happened, where the queen lost one of the diamonds. Omar lo, so the king said, Omar lo hamelech, so the king said to her, Ibadit achas, you lost one of them, shimri es hashnia. You better watch the second one very careful now. In other words, till now we had two ropes tying us together. You lost one, be extra careful with the second one. The Medrash says, Kach kidei shakodesh baruch hu es Yisrael benaaseh v'nishma. When Hashem first engaged the Jews at Mount Sinai, He engaged them with two statements. They made a double statement. Naaseh v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. Ovdu es ha-naaseh. But right after the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai, they gave up the naaseh. How? She'osu es ha-egel. They performed the act of the golden calf, where they showed that in physical action they were doing the wrong things. They were doing what was improper. Omar lehen Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Ibadeten naaseh, shimru nishma. You lost one of these diamonds, one of the items that hooked you up to Hashem, the naaseh you lost. In other words, you were pagim in it. Now you better guard the nishma very, very carefully. Holy Shema Yisrael. The Medrash says that's the meaning of Shema Yisrael here. In other words, he was giving them a warning. Listen to me very careful. You're about to advance into Eretz Yisrael. The history of the Jews is about to change completely. You better remember where this all started, on Mount Sinai. And it started with a double statement. You will be taught through two things, Naaseh v'Nishma. The Naaseh you gave up, therefore I'm warning you, Shema Yisrael. That from this point in, because of the sin of the Egel Azov, the Jews brought upon themselves that from here on in, if a person wants to be religious, it's going to be much harder. In other words, in a sense, he would say, if the Jews had not committed the act of the Egel Azov, it would have been conceivable for a Jew to come close to Hashem one of two ways, either through Naaseh or Nishma. Through the act of the Egel Azov, they gave up the Naaseh. Now it became only Nishma. The main leg on which the Jews are standing on is Nishma. Ad kam l'shen ha-medrash. This is the wording of the Medrash. And Rabbi Nezal says, V'al kein, therefore, kishaloi made me teich ha-sefer. When a person is studying from a sefer, shehi b'chinas asiyo, which is a concept of nase, it's a concept of doing on his own. Shehu b'chinas nase, ein boze koyach kol kach lo'iroisoi. A person will find that a sefer can inspire you, but not that much. The learning from a sefer itself does not have that much power to inspire you. Why? Ki Yisrael ovdu es ha-naaseh. The Jews brought this problem upon themselves. They forfeited the naaseh in a sense. Avol kisheshoy meyami peh ha-tzadik. But when a person is zeiche to hear Torah from the mouth of a tzadik, hu bechinas nishma. That's the concept of nishma. Shezeh ha-keser nishar lohem li-Yisrael kanal. That crown remained with the Jews throughout, as we explained before, because if you recall, on Mount Sinai, each Jew, the Gemara says 3 million, how many malachim? 1,200,000 malachim came down and put two crowns on each one of the 600,000 Jews. Why the two crowns? One for Naaseh, one for Nishma. When the Egel Azov happened, one crown was removed, but the Nishma remained intact. And this is very comparable to what Rebbe Zal once said, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh said this in slightly different words. The Baal Shem Tov said that at Har Sinai, originally, Hashem's deal with the Jews was, Hashem was going to address the whole Jewish nation, if you recall. Hashem was going to say the Aseret HaDibros to everybody. At that point, if you recall, Hashem started talking, and they all burst. They couldn't take the light. And the Jews began to scream, Hashem, please, we can't take it. Please, you speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and let him take it out. Let him transfer it to us, because we see that we're not worthy of getting the light direct from you. The Baal Shem HaKodesh said that from that point on in time, it was decided forever that this is the way Hashem deals with the Jews, via an intermediary. There's no, so all of this baloney that the Misnagdim are afraid to say, it's all baloney hot air, because they say it themselves. Even in Misnagdish Yeshivas, you have a Rosh Yeshiva, who, what is he? He's a ladder to heaven. Another, there's some kind of song, a stairway to heaven, that's what it is. He's a ladder. In other words, every person at Yeshiva understands that they can't really get close to Torah, where the purpose of it is to get close to Hashem, unless they listen to the shiurim of this Rosh Yeshiva, or their Rebbe, whoever it is at the point in time. And the Baal Shem HaKodesh says, this is Pshat. Zeh Hashar Lashem. What is the gate that leads to Hashem nowadays? In other words, since that incident on Har Sinai, it became, in other words, the Jews shook hands on this deal. That Zeh Hashar Lashem, what is it? Tzadikim. That the gate to come close to Hashem is tzadikim. A person must go to the tzadik. And through that, yavoy uvoy, through the tzadik, a person can get to come close to Hashem. Halavai, we should all be zecha to take this into our heads, to have the anova that's needed and the power that's needed, not to be lazy. If we had to walk 6 miles to go to a shir, it was worth it 50 times over to be willing to walk. If a person is zecha to find a tzaddik, a Rebbe Emes, it's worth it to go to the other end of the world to be zecha to hear shirim from him. Because Rabbi Nezal says in this Torah clearly that there do exist these two items. There does exist. And when the Rebbe isn't giving a shir, it doesn't mean you're free to battle. Then you have to sit and learn. You have to do what's second best. But you should know that the Iker is the Nekudas Rebbe. The Iker nowadays, since this incident with the Egel HaZahav, the Iker became the Nishma.
What do you want to say? Is this a twist on what it normally means? Like Nasim Nishman normally means action as opposed to just learning?
Yeah, but this is a slightly different interpretation, although it holds true. Nishma is listening to a shir, whereas Nas is where you're doing the work yourself, in a sense. You understand? In other words, Nishma is you didn't prepare the shir at all. You're coming the way Rabbi Zal used to talk sometimes, if you recall. In other words, the one who has to work is the one who's preparing the shir. The other ones come in, and just the pleasure of sitting and listening.
That's worth more credit than a guy struggling with
100%. You see, here he's showing you why. Originally, you had these two crowns. The Medrash says one crown you forfeited. You should know that the main leg that the Jewish nation is standing on now is Nishma, which means that you'll find that 90% of the Jewish nation, which is full of baloney today, and they're not willing to commit themselves to a rabbi, they're not willing to be Mekayim Aseh L'Charav, you'll find that their learning is crooked, and they do the wrong things, whether it be in halacha, whether it be in ideology, they come out completely upside down. And that's because they're standing on a leg, but it's a very wobbly leg. A leg which the Jewish nation themselves made wobbly through the incident with the Egel HaZahav. And those who are zecher to be mekayim aseh l'charav, whether it be Lubavitch, whoever it is, who has a Rebbe, who is anisho emes, who's a tzaddik emes, that type of person, and they listen to him through and through, they follow him, those are the ones who are zecher to be really religious, or at least much more than the others. You can't deny it. If you look honestly, you'll see. The Jewish religion was set up in such a way where it's not the kind of thing that you can approach on your own. Just, in other words, I don't want to see the movie. Just give me the books. I'll do it on my own. Give me the independent study course. There's no such thing in Yiddish.
People that have, just respond without coming to
it. Okay, the answer is because Rav Moshe Zal once made a statement, Aseh l'charav, uknei l'chachaver, that factually the best thing is Aseh l'charav. In other words, to hear from a Rebbe himself. If a person doesn't have a Rebbe, then the Eitza is Nischaber Elakone, attach yourself to the pen, meaning look in Sforim, and in the Sefer, in other words, the Sefer in a sense is also the Nefesh of the Rav, Ano Nafshik Savis Yehovis. In other words, these people, they needed something to bring them to the Rav, they needed the Sefer, but you'll note you say the Sefer brought them to Breslov, after that they didn't just stick to the Sforim. They went to a Rebbe, whether it was Rav Koch HaLeizer, Rav Moshe Zal, whoever it was, they went to a Rebbe and they hooked up completely. This one Hashem wanted, due to certain circumstances in heaven with Gilgulam and everything, each one has a different thing that turns him on, a different thing that gets him through the door. Once he gets through the door, though, in order to be able to stay or to be there honestly, it requires Aseh L'Charav. No, it requires Nishma. That's what he's saying here without any question. Baruch Hashem. I'm telling you again. In other words, the way Rabbi Nezal's approaching it here, Nishma in technical terms means listen. That is to listen, to be addressed, and to listen. Nase, you're making the Torah yourself. You're making the Torah yourself. How? When you sit with a Sefer, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, just like that.
So doesn't Rabbi Nezal say something like, I don't think until he came to the world, a person could be from, like, on his own, but then when he said about himself or about something like that.
No.
But if he came out of the world, then, you know, you need, you know, some doctors like that.
I don't know. I don't remember. What I do remember is this thing that Rabbi Zal once said in a Shiur as Yisrael, because it made such an imprint on my mind, that he said from the time that incident, until Har Sinai, in other words, this is the wording that the Baal Shem HaKadosh uses, that until Har Sinai, each Jew had a right to study Sforim on his own, in other words, to do his own thing, period. It's based on that incident that changed around the whole Jewish religion. There was an incident where the Jews said clearly, we're willing to forfeit, we admit, we confess that the light is too bright for us. And from that point on, Moshe Rabbeinu was declared the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, and from that point on, the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, he's coming to Hashem. He's coming to the moon, he's coming to Mars, he thinks he's coming to Hashem. He's not. The only way to get Hashem now is via Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, that's what Korach was pointing. Korach said we were all there. And the simple answer to him was, idiot, you were all there and you all admitted that none of you were able to handle it. You all admitted that only... let's hear it from Moshe, because when we hear it from Hashem, we'll plots, we'll burst, we can't handle it. Torah tzivolanu Moshe, the Gemara says. Torah, the word Torah is bigamatria 611. 611 out of 613 mitzvahs were taught by Moshe, not by Hashem. Hashem taught two, and then they plots. They couldn't take it anymore. And that's why Rabbi Zal once said, a chiddush again, that's... There are people who say, if you say this, you're an apikoros, everything that tzaddik is like Hashem, that kind of... That's the worst apikorsis. The Zohar Kodesh says that Moshe was called Moshe. Why? Because the word Moshe is the letters Hashem, referring, showing the close attachment between the tzaddik and Hashem. But we'll go much better than that. I think it's the Shalom Kodesh whom Rabbi Zal quoted, or somebody else. I don't remember who he quoted. He once mentioned this on a Friday night in a meal in his house, and this was magnificent. The Gemara says that two of the commandments were given by Hashem, the rest by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the wording in the Gemara is, Anoichi v'lo yelecha, Anoichi Hashem lekecha, and the second one, lo yelecha, mipi gvura nemra. Those two were said by Hashem. The wording in the Gemara is, mipi gvura. They were said from Hashem. It doesn't say mipi Hashem, mipi HaKadosh, mipi gvura nemra. The rest was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mefarshim say, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there's two different sets of commandments. Obviously, the first two are to be taken much more seriously because they were given by Hashem. The other eight were still, you can't deny, was given by a man, by a human being. There's no way in the world it could compare. So the Sifrei Kabbalah say you're full of hot air. Because if you look at the words Mipi Gvura, the words Mipi Gvura are exactly Bigimatria Moshe. Period. And that's why the Gemara used that exact title of Hashem over there, said no Jew should get any stupidity in his mind. You have to know that as far as we're concerned, these two are the same. In other words, if Hashem would walk into the room, we would stand up, just like you stand up for any king. But unfortunately, we're too moronic. We're not gifted with eyes to see Hashem around us. Therefore, when we see a Talmud Chacham, who is the embodiment of the spirit of Hashem in a sense, he has the kavod of Hashem within him, whether it be the Torah or the Neshama HaKdoshah, whatever it is, the Chelek HaKamimal, we're required to stand up for him. The Gemara says, Meira Rabach Kemaira Shamayim. The Gemara isn't inhibited. It wasn't afraid to say, to put these two in the same breath. Meira Rabach Kemaira Shamayim. That's apikorsis. To compare a Rebbe, you're going to kiss his feet like you would... Yeah, like you would kiss Hashem's feet. No question about it. Nothing fancy. That's fabulous. That cleared up the whole parasha with Moshe Rabbeinu versus Hashem. So you have people who say, fine and dandy, give me Moshe Rabbeinu today, I'll listen to him. If he would tell me to jump off the roof, if he would eat a meal, I'd grab a shirayim. But these rabbis today, or in the 1800s, the Baal Shem Tov, that's baloney. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Sifrei Kabbalah say you're full of baloney, because we have a statement in the Gemara. We say that this halacha is midiraisa. This halacha is midirabonon. Midirabonon means a lower level. Midirabonon means in any generation. Whether it means the Rabbonon in the times of the Tanon, the rabbis of the Gemara, Midrabbonon is applied to a law in Shulchan Aruch that the Beis Yosef stated. Midrabbonon is applied to today. If Rav Moshe Feinstein or any of the leaders of the Dur today make a certain gzera, if they would be gezer something like the gzera of Rabbeinu Gershom about not marrying two wives, that's called an item Midrabbonon. That applies to every generation throughout. The question is again, how does that rate? As far as Hashem, as far as Moshe, the word Midrabbonon is exactly bigimatria of Moshe, which is bigimatria mipi gvura. And Rabbi Zal said this at that time, this is what we define as Amunas Chachamim. Amunas Chachamim means, the Medrash Rabbah says, Vayedabra likimes kol hadvorim ho'ele leimor, in the introduction to the Aseres HaDibrois, the Medrash says that means that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai every single item of Torah that would be said in the 1800s and the 1900s, in all generations. All of that Torah was said on Har Sinai and is to be treated with the same respect as the Chumash, as the Gemara, as anything else. In other words, we the Jews have to look at the rabbis in our generation with the same respect that we think we would have given to Moshe Rabbeinu if we would have lived in his time. Or if he would come down today, people would look at him and they'd have real respect. Baloney, it's not true. They would spit on him. Those who spit on today's Gedalei Torah would spit on him too. And those who show respect to today's Gedalei Torah would show the right respect to Moshe Rabbeinu or to Hashem, either one.
How do you know that?
generations from the pasuk.
Midrabanan. The word midrabanan. Oh, it says because the midrash says that there's incorrect grammar there. Vayidaber Elokim es hadvorim ha'elalemor. Hashem spoke the following words. Why does it say es kol had? Hashem spoke all of the following words. That's extra word. The Medrash Rabbah says, this is in Parshas Yisroi, Medrash Rabbah says, from here we learn out that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai every single item that was going to be Nischadesh throughout all the generations. And the Medrash there goes into a whole blasting thing that therefore we have to know that we have to show the same respect to the Navi of each Doer has the status of Moshe Rabbeinu, that type of thing. This is clearly in the Medrash. Es kol hadvorim ha'ila. That word kol there is completely extraneous. Vayidabra lokim es hadvorim ha'ila lemer. That's what it says in Chumash a lot of times. Hashem spoke the following words. Es kol hadvorim. To teach us not just what you see here. He spoke everything. Everything in Torah that's going to come up till Bias Moshiach was all given on Har Sinai and is to be treated with the utmost of respect. You don't take light the word of any God of Torah. Period. Baruch Hashem. Next. Torah Kuf Chaf Aleph. Rabbi Nezal says, he bases this Torah on a pasuk in Tehillim, where Dovra Melech says, Oz Omarti, Hine Bosi B'Megillah Sefer, Kosov Olai, Laseis Ritzoncha Hashem Chofotzdi. We'll see in a minute what this means. And this is a very outstanding Torah. Rabbi Nezal says, Kishe Odom Roye V'Loime B'Sefer, when a person is zeicha to look into and to study a sefer, ubechol mokaim shehu roye v'loimed, and every single line that he looks at and he learns, moitzei es atzmoi, he applies it to himself. He finds himself in the sefer. He accepts it as a private shiur. He's talking only to me. I'm not interested. When he's talking about kas, he's talking to me. When he's talking about taivas lama, he's talking to me. Oh, I don't really have any type. No, I have to look within myself. If this sefer is talking about taivas lama, there must be, if I look hard enough, I'll be able to find in myself some kind of garbage related to taivas lama that I have to work on, that I could correct. Rabbi Nezal says, "Ubechol makim shuroy v'leimet moitzes atzmai, haynu sheloikeach laatzmai musar. He takes the musar to himself. V'roye pchisusay v'shiflusay bekol makim be'ez a sefer shelbo ma'in sham, and he sees his own smallness and lowness." In every single place, in any sefer that he looks into, it brings him to a greater anova. In other words, he sees that they're reprimanding him, and he studies himself, and he finds himself lacking, and he tries to work on himself to correct himself. A person who takes that attitude, zeh simen, that's a definite sign, shechofetz lasais ritzani yisborach, that this person really wants to serve Hashem, really wants to please Hashem. V'zev, this is what David HaMelech meant when he said these words, Oz Omarti, then I said, Hine Bosi B'Megillah Sefer, when I came to a Megillah Sefer, meaning to any type of Sefer, Kosuv Olai, I accepted that it was written for me, it was written about me, and you know what that was a proof of? Zeh Simen, that was a sign to prove that Lasais Ritzencho Eleikai Chofotzdi, that proved to me that deep inside, my real desire was to serve Hashem. And if a person finds that when he learns a sefer, his nature is not this manner, to apply himself, to apply it completely to himself, and that every sefer that he learns, it brings him to a greater... Some people, the more they learn, the more arrogant they get. Look how stupid it is. Rabbi Nezal saying here clearly, every sefer you learn, the sefer is pure. You're always rating yourself against the sefer. You're always rating yourself against the sefer, and you always must find yourself lacking. If you're honest, you'll always find that you're not 100%, which means lacking, and it'll bring a greater degree of anava on you, a greater degree of humbleness. Rabbi Nezal says, if you see that, you know that deep inside you want to do the will of Hashem. If not, You know that deep inside you're messed up, you're sick, you don't want to do the will of Hashem. And Rabbi Nezal says, what's the Eitzah? Then you better cry your heart out, Hashem, I see I'm such a sick person that I don't even want to serve you. Rabbi Nezal just said that how does a person know if he wants to serve Hashem? If whenever he learns, he feels that it's being addressed to him, and he feels that he's getting smacked. Not that he learns, oh, it's talking about Anivas, yeah, that's me, that's for sure, I'm doing great, comes to the next Torah story. I'm saying, this is what Rabbi Nezal is saying here. If the person takes the attitude kosov olai in a negative way, in other words, that he sees his pchisus and his shiflus, that's a sign that he really wants to compose Hashem. And if not, he has to pour out his heart to Hashem and cry, you know how sick I am, Hashem? I see that I don't even want to serve you. Please change, fix me up. I should at least want to serve you. That kind of thing.
I'm just wondering, what's an approach to take, local sparring shoving in the effect on a person? Sometimes some sparring continually provide a person with the tofach, what he feels is tofach, and some sparring don't do anything.
The answer is a person has to look for what's good for himself, no question about it. Person has to look for what's good for him. Certain people react, they see a chavas halvavos and it sends them through the sky. Another person looks at a chavas halvavos and it looks like a book of philosophy, which isn't interesting at all. One person looks at a mesil sishon like it's phenomenal. You know, each person has to look on his level of what he needs. There are certain sforim, Rabbi Nezal said that there was about himself, that he was able to write a sefer which could reach anybody, could find himself in Rabbi Nezal's sefer. The biggest tzaddik, the worst Russia, could learn this sefer and apply it himself and get a supercharge. Not all sforim are designed that way.
You said about all sforim?
Definitely, 100%. You have the Rambam, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, for example, who said about his sefer, that sefer Hamira, that sefer, he said that this sefer was written for 1 out of 1,000 people. He said, out of 1,000 people, 999 will learn it, and they will not benefit from it, and some of them it might even hurt them. 1 out of 1,000 will learn it, and it'll bring them closer to Hashem. And Rav Nosson Zal once said that the 999 we've seen, the one we haven't come across yet. We haven't come across one person yet who could study a book of philosophy, solid philosophy, and come out of it closer to Hashem. So I'm saying, you see that in Sforim, this is a tremendous talent. To be able to write a sefer, number one, that can awaken people, and a sefer that can address the masses, you know, at all different levels. That's the greatness of a tzaddik. Rabbi Nezal says that's the definition of tzaddik. The ochid ben shmai avara, he's right up the middle. He takes the middle path, where a person with any type of extreme would be able to latch on to him and compromise with a tzaddik. That kind of attitude.
Listen, Rabbi Nezal says the quickest way a person to do tshuva is to find himself in the songs. That's impossible not to find yourself.
100%. Not in this Torah. In a different Torah, the Gemara, Rabbi Nezal says that this refers specifically to the Sefer Tehillim and that type of item. That when a person says Tehillim, he has to feel that he's talking about himself. When David HaMelech says, Gal Einai Va'apitot Nifloes Mitarasech, the person has to say, I'm not repeating what David this is me. I'm saying, Hashem, please open up my eyes. I'm a dummy. I learned Torah and I don't see lights blasting off. Please open my eyes, I should be zecher to get to see the light of the Torah. Or when he writes about my enemies are chasing me to kill me, the person has to feel like that's talking about himself. Which enemy? The Satan, the Malach HaMoves, the Yetzer Hara, who's chasing after each one of us. He's out to kill us. He's out to destroy us.
Rabbi Nezal says, like in Tillmans, like David and Mel, he's not really talking about an actual physical, he's talking about the world himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I just said. He was talking there about both, but the main one is referring to the battle of the Satan. The main enemy, when we say in Shema Esrei, for example, you have people who figure that they start listing off names of people who are plotting against me. That's baloney. That's all gears. That sentence, when you say that sentence, you're supposed to have kavana for the real one who is chayshu malay laro, the real one who's plotting against me. Batel kalkel machshavtam. I forget the exact wording. That Hashem, no, the Satan, who sits all day and plots how to get me to turn away from Hashem, please knock out his machshava. Don't allow him to harm me, to kill me. Chas v'shalom. Baruch Hashem. Next. Each Torah is like a whole philosophy. This, even the little, even I'm saying these little ones, has a whole way of life in it. You'll see the next one. Rabbi Nezal's defining, giving definition to certain words, which is unbelievable. The word Nitzachon. The word Nitzachim is one of the ugliest midas that exists. The Sifrei Musa, you look in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says some people have a nature where they can never come out wrong. Like, in other words, they can never admit, I made a mistake, that kind of word. This guy always has to win. And people have friends, parents, this, you're coming to deal with people. See, people have a nature, and that's called the ugliest midah of all, because this person, Chas V'Shalom, could commit suicide, he could kill people. If there's ever a situation where he believes he's right, he'll turn over the world. Or no matter what, he'll never give in. L'man HaSholem, anything. Here's Rabbeinu Zal's words on this term, Netzach, Nitzachim. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Anovi, where the pasuk says, V'gam Netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. That the Netzach of Israel, referring to Hashem, Hashem is called the Netzach Israel, the victor of the Jewish nation. Whenever the Jewish nation went out to battle and they were victorious, who was the one who was victorious for them? Hashem Yilochem Lochem. Hashem was the victor. Netzach Israel, the victor of Bnei Israel, which is Hashem, lo yishoker, doesn't lie. Rabbi Nezal says, ki ze yodua, this is very known, shemidas hanitzachin, eino soiveles hoemes. That these two items are opposite, Nitzachim and Emes. A person who has this nature of Nitzachim, he must win, that conflicts with being honest, with the truth. Because this person, let's say he happens to make a mistake in a certain item and he's incorrect, because of his nature of Nitzachim, no matter how much proof you'll give him, he won't give in. Because giving in means that I lost. So in other words, if you could prove to him conclusively that he's wrong, that he's sheker, that he made a mistake, zero Nitzachim, his Nitzachim overrides the Emes. Ki af im yira le'inayim, dovor Emes, because this person, even if he will see with his eyes a dovor Emes, yidche oisai, he'll push it aside, machmas ha'Nitzachim. Because of the mid of Nitzachim, he must come out, he's not willing to say he was wrong. You get a person who's 30 years old, who's been irreligious their whole life, they've been going along a certain way, and you get a kid, a Baal Tshuva, comes over to them and says, let me talk to you, let me explain to you what's going on in life. And the person listens and everything, and he has no argument, there's no debate, no, there's no challenge. He heard the whole thing, but it's the Midas HaNitzach. In other words, it's not, this isn't something that shows. Very quietly, very calmly, this person, because he's 30 years old or 50 years old, has a Midas of Nitzach in him. I can't give this person, this 20-year-old schnook, I can't say that I was wrong my whole life, that I'm going to change it, that you're right, I'm wrong, that kind of thing. They're not capable of doing it, not capable of making that kind of turnaround. And Rabbi Nezal says it's that attribute of Nitzachim that's not Seivel Emes. Not Seivel means you can feed him Emes by the gallon and it can't go in, nothing, you know, it's not possible. V'zeh mevuror ma'oid. Rabbi Nezal says this item is extremely clear. If you'll think about it, if you look into it, this is very proven. It's a very clear item. Ach, however, loy kemidas bosar vadom midas hakadosh baruch hu. This is where Hashem's mentality differs from the human mentality. Ki hakadosh baruch hu, Hashem is so great that af b'hanitzachin hu emes. One of Hashem's attributes is Netzach. One of the Midas of Hashem is Netzach, and yet one of the Midas of Hashem is Emes, and both are together, side by side, no sweat. There's no conflict within Hashem's Nitzachin and Hashem's Emes. Rabbi Nezal says, Ach, loy kemidas bosar vadom midas hakadosh baruch hu, ki hakadosh baruch hu af b'nitzachin hu emes, ve'ein lo mishaker chas v'shalom. And Hashem doesn't lie whatsoever. V'zehu, that's the meaning of the words, v'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. Meaning, there does exist a metzius of Hashem, or a certain tzaddik who is great enough, where he can have these two side by side and there's no contradiction. In other words, logically, you would say that based on all the cases that we've explained, these two are contradictory. Nitzachin and Emes, they're opposites. There's no way that these two could live together side by side. Hashem is so great that within the Nitzachin, he's Emes. And we mentioned once recently, Yoina ben Amitai. Yoino ben Amitai. Amitai is Emes, which is Elianavi. Yoino, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, is Bemilui. Is Begimatria Netzach. Netzach, the son of Emes. In the Sphirois, Chesed Vura Teferes, T Tiferes is Emes. Titein Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov is Tiferes, and the son of Emes is Netzach. You know, just an interesting item. And this is what a person has to be mispal for. Hashem, I know that again. I'm sick. Each and every human being has this midas hanitzochin in him, and nitzochin is not seivel Emes. Allow me to have the seichel either to rid myself completely of the midas hanitzochin, which is so damaging to a person, or let me be seichel to merge with Hashem, to be nichlal in Hashem, where it's possible for these two to live side by side and not contradict, not hurt each other.
What does it mean, nitzochin by Hashem?
What do you mean? It means victorious. In other words, Hashem always has to come out right.
But over there, it's a different story.
In other words, we're talking in very simple terms here. Victor means I always have to be right. That's what we're talking about. Hashem always has to come out right, and yet Hashem is always MS. In other words, you picture applying this to a human being. Pick any human being you want. If this guy always has to be right, there's no way that he could be 100% MS, because there must be something that he doesn't know that he might make a mistake in. Somebody want to correct him, Netzach, and jump in a lake. Yet by Hashem, v'gam Netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. That's the greatness of Hashem. If I, we should be zeichet to take all the advice that's in here.
Don't we always relate with Rabbeinu Zal Netzach?
100%. Rabbeinu Zal said his name. 100%. Rabbeinu Zal said Nitzach Divanatzeach. Rabbeinu Zal said that if other tzaddikim are chaylek on me, in other words, by Rabbeinu Zal you saw this midas hanitzachim. He said Vehilchasa kenachmeni. You know, he mentioned Hilchasa ke Rabbi Nachman Bedini. You know, that you saw an outright midas hanitzachim that he said I'm right and they're all wrong. And yet, Rabbeinu Zal says that it does exist. The Gemara says tzaddikim. In other words, forget about a guy's going to say, so what? Was he Hashem? No, the Gemara says tzaddikim mizdamnen liyitzram. Tzaddikim emulate Hashem, which means that if by Hashem there can exist such a metzias of Netzach and Emes side by side, Rabbeinu Zal, who said that he was Netzach, the word Nachman is bigimatria Netzach, he was a Netzach, Hashem's type of Netzach, which means this Netzach which is next door to Emes. The two are actually neighbors. Netzach and Tiferes. Tiferes and Netzach are neighbors. That's how it was by Rabbeinu Zal.
In a sense, I don't know, maybe this is wrong, what I'm going to say. In a sense, like, is Rabbeinu Zal like the son of Yaakov Avinu? Because you said something about Emes, Yitain, Yaakov. And you said
that Rabbeinu Zal is Netzach. Yes, 100%. 100%. In Kabbalah, in terminology of Kabbalah, Rabbeinu Zal said about himself that he was the Bechun of Netzach, which is the son of Tiferes, Emes, 100%.
This is a Nitzachon. A person have, let's say, one item, let's say, that knows, not saying that everything is right, but let's say
the answer is yes, but in anything it's no good. Because if you think about this for a minute, this thing is like one of the worst qualities within a person. If a person has this midas hanitzochin, it means in whatever item he has it in, you can't teach him, you can't tell him anything. You understand? It's that kind of thing. In this thing, I have to be right. Now, you say, let's say, as far as emunah and Hashem, simple faith in Hashem, each and every Jew is required to have this type of nitzochin, where no matter what you can tell me to moon, there's nothing that's going to change it. But that's probably the only case. And anything else, this midas hanitzochin is very dangerous. You know, horrible, it can hurt a person. That's what prevents a person from having a Rebbe, that kind of thing. Well, from learning at work, you pitch out as applies to work. You have people who have a nature, they come to work. If they have a boss who's teaching them, boss who says, I want you to do this my way, this guy can't handle it. He has to quit his job because his nature is such that it's not physically possible for him to orient his mind to say he's too independent. In other words, he has a nature, different people have different natures. He has a nature where it's not possible. He has a certain strong nitzachim, which is not safe. Well, this guy has 6 years more experience than you. Maybe his way is better. What do you have to lose? And even if it's not, he's paying you. Why not do it his way? Again, there's a midas hanitzachon that doesn't allow the person. And Rabbeinu Zal is warning you here that by the welt, nitzachon is not seivel emes. You should know that whenever you see it, it's sheker. Nitzachon is sheker. Hashem is a unique barrier where nitzachon is emes. V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. That's the chiddush about Hashem.
Listen, like the Rashi, you know, in catching out, you know, I forget, it's in the last book of the Chumash, when Jewish people go out to war, if they use righteous judgment, will be guaranteed victory. How would that be applied in the context talking about?
Again, Netzach and Emes going together. Eifas Sedek, Kin Sedek, the fact that that's put right next to the going out to war, that they need Sochan is Tolei and Emes. 100%.
Is Netzach Yisrael or Yishaka?
Right. But I'm saying, if you look in Rashi over there, if you look in the Novi over there, they're talking about Hashem. In other words, Hashem is cool. That's why I said it in the beginning when I said it. Hashem is cool, V'Netzach Yisrael. And again, the Zohar Kodesh says, Kudshe Berichu V'Yisrael V'Eirai Sechan, which means that the Jewish nation as a whole also has this Netzach, which is Emes. V'Amech Kulam Tzadikim, you understand? That let's say they're Emun and Hashem, they're Bali Nitzachin in that. They don't want to hear anything you can prove to, I don't want to listen. It's a Nitzachin with Emes.
The Jewish people
are known as different. Right, exactly. But generally, that's said to be a bad thing. But I'm telling you that in certain things, it's a good thing. Faith in Hashem, simple faith in Hashem. You have to be very stiff. If a guy would sit down, if he wants to, he says, at least don't have a narrow mind, at least let me talk to you. No, you're a philosopher. I don't want to talk. I'm not curious. You say, aren't you? You're a human being. You're supposed to have some kind of intellect. In other words, what are you afraid? You're going to make a mistake? Yes, I'm a dummy. I'm afraid if I listen to what you're saying, it might end up. I might think it's, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to, in this item, I don't want to change. Anything else, Torah, ways in Torah, you want me to listen, you want me to study it? I'll look at it, definitely. In other words, in paths in Torah, there's this Hasidus, there's this Rosh Yeshiva. Each one has a different attitude in coming close to Hashem. There, a person could say, I want to analyze it, I want to study it, I want to see which one to me looks the best. And whatever it is, am I smarter than any of these? No. But still, I'm required as a Jew to use my own judgment to pick for myself among them to weigh which one to me seems like the one that will bring me closest to Hashem.
It so happens, and Emes always with the Or Tzadikim, is the Emes, in Tzadikim are at each other's throat, whoever follows
them. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Hakim Chayim, of course. In other words, although there's some kind of conflict, they're all hooked into Emes. Okay.
Does this mean something you all mean that I want to be right? Does it mean my conscience also?
Both. That's another application of it. In other words, Rabbi Nizal brings in different terrors where he talks about machlekes, this concept of nitzochen. A person's in a state of machlekes, and because he has the meaning of nitzochen, he's not open to emes. Machlekes means a difference of opinion. You picture if the two sides could sit down and each one eliminate the possibility of nitzochen from within him and then go at it, debate. They're definitely going to come out with the right answer. One is going to come out right and one is going to come out wrong. In other words, because MS is one. We mentioned that many times. In any kind of conflict, you want to say, is it hot outside or cold outside? Two people are going to argue. One is going to be able to prove his point that based on this theory of relativity, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. You made a mistake, period.
But
it doesn't allow machlekes to get cleared out. These are all tied in. You look in, and you know where you see this the most? In Likutei Tefillos. Whenever he talks about these kind of tefillos, about coming close to the tzaddik, about machlekes, he always mentions, save me from the midas hanitzachin, which doesn't allow a person to be able to see straight. That's the problem. You can't see. It's blinding. Emes, Rabbi Nezal said in previous Torah, Hashem oircha v'amitcha. Emes is oir. Nitzachin is chayshich. Literally, it's like a wall up where somebody's shooting you with grenades of MS zero. You picture Rebbe's all times when he spoke to people. You know, I remember, I remember situations, people who were around for a while and they left. Barry Wexler, different people I remember. There was one Saturday night where he sat down with him for 3 hours, period. He went into his house to see him. Rebbe's all spoke to him for 3 hours. You picture again how much emes was given out that night. 3 hours worth of emes, of oyer. But there was a nitzah. This person had locked his mind into a certain thing. No matter what he would shoot, nothing. There was a nitzachin that blocked the emes. There was a nitzachin that was the opposite of emes, that didn't allow the emes to win. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you said something before about it's called Mars. It hasn't been when it's relative.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Don't we Jewish people only believe like Torah is absolute? It's, I don't believe.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that based on what we were talking about, I can prove that you, in other words, you thought we were talking about in this terminology, but based on the, each one can prove that he was right, let's say, based, I was talking relative to winter, you're talking relative to summer. That's what I mean.
The debate, the demographic between the Shammai and Yah.
Right.
And both of them are right, but the one who had the...
The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the first letters of Machlekes, Shammai, Hillel, make up Meshach. those two were two branches right out of Moshe Rabbeinu, each one perfectly plugged into Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet they were able to look at two things the opposite way. Both of them had solid proofs from the Torah for their way, but yet we follow a certain way now, we're going to follow a certain way when Mashiach comes. So you see that there was MS in both, but for now, one of them is considered a greater degree of MS. For then, the other one is going to be considered a greater degree of MS. Baruch Hashem. What time is Shkia again? 6:56. And let's start now. We'll start. We'll hold it over here. Baruch Hashem. Mincha. Look at the little Tyrus, and there's so much. In a few words, he's telling you, mountains. Look at the insight that this person had. Picture again, this was a person 30 years old who was talking. Look how well he understood human nature, how well he understood the Torah. Somebody should look at a pasuk in Navi, and be able to understand how this applies to humans, how it applies to Hashem, the whole situation. That's it. I remember when I was learning the Qumran for the first time with the Qumran tapes, with Rabbi Zal Saves, each time it went on, it was that thing like that convinced me. At each Torah, I just got a feeling, I can't imagine anybody who knew more than him, like he was more intelligent than him. He seems, as comparing this to different stone, it looks like this person was the most intelligent, that kind of thing. He knew more, he knew better, and he could explain it in the simple, he could explain it where I could understand it. You know what I'm saying? You know what we're talking about? He could explain these things, which you can give it to the biggest Rosh Yeshiva, and it'll be news to them. And yet, kids like us can have an achiza in this, can have, latch onto it and apply it, no problem. And that's it. Say it again, just amazing.
Put
a light. Perfect example where a person has to ask himself honestly every point of the way in the battle. Is it nitzachon or not? In other words, factually, there are times when it's possible for even a wife to be right. It's conceivable. At the same time, it's possible the other way also. And Rabbeinu Zal says beferish that women have an atiyah towards kavod. There's no question about it that there is a certain that nitzachon-wise, probably, if you had to rate generally women, men, nature-wise, they're probably created because that bechina of malchut. They're probably created because that bechina of malchut.